It's the Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm John Munson. White supremacy is out. White nationalist and white separatist are just fine as far as Facebook is concerned. Do you think Facebook's policy on white supremacy versus white nationalism and white separatism makes sense, or does it need to change? My guest is Jason Kebler, the editor-in-chief of Motherboard. Jason, good morning, and thank you for joining me on the Morning Show.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Facebook's current hate speech policy allows white nationalism or white separatism, but not white supremacy. So someone could post, white nationalism is the only way. That statement would be allowed, but the statement, white supremacy is the only way, would not be allowed. How did this policy come about?
Right. So Facebook has had hate speech policies for a few years now, but this really crystallized after the Charlottesville Unite the Right rally last year. Facebook realized that it had a real problem with this. And so it looked at its policies again and had to decide where it wanted to draw the line. And this is where it decided, white supremacy is not allowed, but white nationalism and white separatism are. And if you ask people who have sort of studied the history of white supremacy in the United States, they might tell you that there's not really much of a distinction between these things.
When did we find out about this Facebook policy?
Right. So Motherboard, the publication I run, has been reporting on content moderation for a few years now. And earlier this year, we got some leaked internal training documents, and its hate speech policies were part of this. So we were the first ones to report this back in May. We did a bigger feature, and I went to Facebook's headquarters to talk to them specifically about this policy and a few others back in June. So for now, this is still Facebook's internal policies, but we recently heard that it has begun to reconsider the policy.
So where does this distinction between white supremacy and white nationalism or separatism come from?
Right. So Facebook actually pulled this distinction from Wikipedia. It says that it has, talked to experts in the field, but, when you talk to Black history scholars or people who have studied this subject, they say that white nationalism and white separatism are movements that are sort of disguised white supremacy. It's what the KKK and David Duke and other white supremacists have called their movements to make it seem more inclusive and, I guess, less hateful.
So, I mean, this is sounds like this is a case of, if it looks like a duck and walks like a duck and quacks like a duck, it's a duck. Have white supremacist groups actively promoted this distinction then on social media, saying, hey, we're not racist, we're white nationalists?
Well, there are a lot of white nationalists and white separatist groups on Facebook where they say, they might have a white state or a white separatist, like that quote in the title of their group. I don't know that I haven't seen any organizing specifically by white supremacists or white nationalist groups saying, hey, here's the distinction. Before we reported it, this was all internal. This was what Facebook was using to train its moderators. It has about 7,500 moderators around the world who review content. Not all of them focus on the United States, but Facebook keeps this stuff close to the chest so people can't actively sort of see where the lines are and then try to game the system.
Wondering what you think, listeners. Are there ways you think Facebook needs to change its hate speech policy, or do you think it's fine the way it is? 800-642-1234. 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org or tweet us at WPR Mornings. We're talking with Jason Kebler, the editor and in chief of Motherboard, about this Facebook hate speech policy. Facebook has implied that if pro-white nationalist statements are considered hate speech, they might have to consider the same of other nationalist and separatist groups like Zionists and Black nationalists. Once you apply a policy to one group, what does it mean for other groups then?
Right. So Facebook has decided that it wants to have one set of rules for the entire world, which is kind of how it has, in its mind, backed itself into a corner here. I think Mark Zuckerberg has specifically said he doesn't, condone a lot of like Holocaust denial, for instance, but believes that you should be able to say it on Facebook. And the reason for that is because Facebook has tried to make rules that cut across cultural, geographic, and political boundaries. In practice, this is a much trickier thing to do. Facebook doesn't want to have to enforce one set of rules in the United States and a different set of rules elsewhere. But then when you look at how Facebook does this in practice, you see, you know, this document that we published is specific to the United States. It's not a different set of rules, but it's a different set of sort of guidelines or mechanisms for enforcing the rules. It just spells out the specifics. But we do see where content is banned by a local government, Facebook will take it down. So Facebook allows Holocaust denial, but in several countries in Europe where Holocaust denial is illegal, Facebook will geo-block it. We've also seen Facebook bans content that denigrates Allah or Muslims in countries where that is banned, but will allow it elsewhere, even if it doesn't, violate Facebook's policies. So it gets very tricky once you actually talk about enforcement.
Is this a simple issue of semantics? For example, if the company bans white nationalists in the United States, does that mean they have to ban black nationalists because of the name?
I mean, Facebook doesn't have to do anything. It's a private company, and it could draw different distinctions for white separatism versus black separatism. In the United States, there is a history of white nationalism and white supremacy, whereas there is not a sort of cultural and historical precedent for black separatism or black supremacy or subjugation of white people in the United States. So it's something that Facebook could do. We see here that Facebook draws a lot of very distinct lines for things like white nationalism, white separatism. If you take that and apply it to the thousands of other rules on Facebook, they get very specific. Facebook bans nudity and sexual content, but it allows breastfeeding mothers. It allows, nipples in the case of like art. And it's just, you apply this similar worldview to thousands of different rules, and it becomes a very complex thing to enforce.
Well, yeah, I mean, if you look at it kind of from their point of view on a technical basis, this is pretty much an impossible thing to manage, because if they have to choose to ban all hate speech, which would censor some groups, or allow some hate speech while giving more groups and people a platform, it seems like it would be it's a nearly impossible task, don't you think?
Right. I mean, that's actually the headline of our big feature we ran about this problem. I think we call it the impossible task. And it really is one of the most difficult logistical problems Silicon Valley has ever faced. Facebook has over 2 billion users in more than 100 countries. They speak, dozens of languages. And for, you talk about white supremacy or white nationalism in the context of the United States. This is a country that Facebook was founded in. Facebook is headquartered here. Facebook should know sort of the cultural implications of white supremacy and white nationalism in the United States. But then you think about, countries in where Facebook doesn't have a lot of cultural background or a lot of employees or a lot of history. They all have their own histories. They all have their own, interactions between people, their own hate speech. You look at what has happened in Myanmar, where Facebook has been accused of helping to facilitate genocide with fake news and hate speech there. And it is a really, really tough thing. Facebook tries to have an over 99% accuracy rating by its own metrics on this stuff. But even at that accuracy rating, it has, millions and millions of reports every day. So that's, hundreds of thousands of mistakes every week. And once you look at it that way, it's impossible to even think about.
Do you think that it's likely that Facebook will change this policy that we've been talking about? And if so, what would that look like?
Yeah, so there has been a lot of outrage from civil rights groups, civil rights lawyers about this specific policy. I don't know if Facebook will change it. It has remained pretty steadfast that this is where the line is. Facebook isn't too worried about sticking by where it has drawn the line, but I think you brought up a good point. Facebook has to draw the line somewhere. And the fact is there are white nationalists and white separatists and white supremacists on Facebook. And if it draws the line in a way that is too, overcorrects possibly, you know, Facebook runs the risk of angering people on that side, people who use the platform. And so Facebook wants to appeal to everyone. It's said that it's a platform for everyone. And so, if they draw the line in a way that people feel discriminated against in one way or the other, they could stand to lose those customers. I'm not saying that's the right thing to do, but I think that's how Facebook looks at this.
Well, and at the end of the day, as you point out, Facebook is a private company and they can kind of do whatever they want, although they, you know, they have to consider the market. So it's kind of a delicate balancing act. So what do you think the consequences are in the meantime of continuing to allow pro-white nationalist and pro-white separatist speech on the site?
Right. I mean, we saw last year with the Charlottesville rally, a lot of that was organized on Facebook. We have heard, you know, harassment, bullying, racism, misogyny on Facebook and other social media. It does have psychological impacts on the people who have to see that. It has impacts on the people, when they organize in real life. And so it does have an impact. And I think Facebook doesn't really know the full extent of that on an individual basis.
All right. Jason Kebler, Editor-in-Chief of Motherboard, thank you for joining the show this morning. I really appreciate your time.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
It's the Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm John Munson.